Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publishing of the financial results for the third quarter 2019. For your information, this conference will be recorded. With this, I would like to hand over to Holger Klotz. Good morning and welcome also from my side to today's telephone conference on the results of the Allianz Group in the third quarter 2019. As usual, our CFO, Giulio Terzariol, will guide you through the quarterly results, and after that, he will also answer your questions. With this, I would like to hand over to Mr. Terzariol.
Good morning, I'm delighted to present to you the results of the third quarter. Before we enter into the detailed figures on page three, you can see the overview for the first nine months of the year. As you can see, the results of the first nine months were really good. Revenues grew by 6%, driven by the insurance segments, both property and casualty and life and health. In asset management, we saw a slight decline that was due to the fact that the performance fees were lower than in the previous year. Overall, the revenues grew quite strongly for the group. Operating profit grew by 4% or close to 400 million, driven by life insurance above all, and also in asset management. We've seen an increase in the operating results in property casualty. The operating profit declined slightly by 15 million. That was due to the investment results development. The combined ratio in property casualty remained at 94.1, so basically on the previous year's level. We've seen a better development here when it comes to natural catastrophe, 60 basis points, but the run-off ratio was lower than in the previous year. Those two components combined led to this slight decrease would lead to decline of the combined ratio by 14 basis points. Against this, we have an improvement of the expense ratio, and therefore we've seen a stable level for our combined ratio. The new business margin also remains stable. Another good result that we've seen, taking into account especially the interest rate environment. We increased production here and the value of new business margin grew by 13%. We saw good development of net inflows in asset management. More than three times the amount of the previous year. In all segments, the operating KPIs developed quite strongly, and that led to the fact that the share net holders income grew by 5%, and we're in a good level of above 6 billion here. Taking into account the earnings per share, the increase of earnings per share was close to 8% for the first nine months of the year. Overall, a good performance over the first nine months, and this good performance was also reflected or confirmed in the third quarter, if you wish. You can see this on page five. You can also see good dynamism of total revenues over the quarter with an internal growth rate of above 6%. This time, the growth rate wasn't just driven by property casualty and life health, but also by asset management, where we had a growth rate of close to 2%. Shareholders netting, the operating profit remained on a good level of around 3 billion. You can see that the development in P&C was declining. That was due to the deterioration of the combined ratio in this quarter, which I will be talking about later on, whereas the other segments showed a good development. Overall, operating results remained more or less stable on a good level, and the shareholders net income also remained stable at above 1.9 billion. Overall, also in the third quarter, we posted good results. With this, I would like to switch to page 7, where you can see the development of our solvency ratio and the shareholders' equity. So if we start with the development of shareholders' equity, you can see that in the calculation according to IFRS, we had an increase of above 6 billion and 2 billion approximately stemmed from the annual surplus and the other 4 billion from unrealized gains and losses from our capital investments. Just to give you an idea what this means, we have 86 billion of unrealized gains and losses. That's the gross figure, so that is before the participation of the policyholders and before taxes. But that tells you how many unrealized gains we have on our balance sheet if we calculate this on a gross level. The solvency ratio went down by 10 percentage points. That was driven by the interest rate development, and I will explain on this a little bit more on the next page. But here we also take a look at the sensitivities. Sensitivities remained more or less unchanged compared to the ones we had in the second quarter of 2019. So with this, we'll now come to page 9, where you can see the development of our solvency ratio. It's interesting if you look at our own funds, they increased from around 80 billion at the end of June to close to 83 billion. And that's including the dividend that is to come from this quarter. So we've taken out 1 billion for the dividend. So our own funds have increased, and the increase of solvency ratio is therefore more due to the capital requirements, because if interest rates drop, capital requirements increase, and this has been reflected in what we call market impact in the second line. We can see that the requirements went up to 2.6 billion. So own funds, that shows what we do, they've gone up. But the capital requirements in this situation due to the environment increased over proportionally. And yeah, what's good is the development of operating earnings. So of our organic capital generation was +9% before taxes and dividends. So bottom line is we've seen a good operating development, and the development of interest rates has increased the capital requirements. And as long as we come out with a solvency ratio of 202, which is on a comfortable level. The minimum level we have is of the comfort level is  180%, so we are clearly above this level. And with this, I would like to come to the individual segments and start with property casualty on page 11. Here we show the growth rates for the segment and for the selected OEs. So all in all, we had another good quarter with a growth rate of close to 5% internally, and a large part of that is due to price development, 50%, and 50% was due to volume increases. So clearly balanced between volume and price driven growth. And if you take a look at this, all the OEs showed positive growth rates with one single exception, that is Spain, where we have taken some restructuring measures. But taking out Spain, you can see internal growth, positive internal growth in all units. And when we come to the price changes, they've remained stable or positive. We take a close look at the price trend at AGCS, and you can see that we had an increase of close to 8% or growth of close to 8% in prices. So I would say across the portfolio, we saw a neutral or positive development. Page 13, here we show the development of operating profit for property and casualty. The operating profit decreased by 10%, which was due to the development of the underwriting results. and especially with the development of the combined ratio. As you can see, the combined ratio increased by 1.2 percentage points, which reflects, on the one hand side, a lower impact of natural catastrophes than the previous year, which is positive. But against this, we had a higher number of weather-related damages, and therefore, I would say the reduction of the Nat Cat impact was more or less compensated for with the increasing costs from weather-related events and major events. So you can then see that we had a good improvement of the expense ratio by around 7 basis points. And if we take out the, if we look at the base loss ratio, taking out natural catastrophes and weather-related and major events, this would also have improved a bit. So the base combined ratio was better by 90 basis points compared to the previous year. But you can also see below that the run-off ratio was 2.1 percentage points lower than in last year, where I have to say that the last year's ratio at 4.5 was exceptionally high. This year, however, with 2.5, we're a little below what we would expect on average, but that is what we would see as an, or a little below what we would see as a normalized view. So a better combined ratio overall for the ongoing business year, but against this, we have the lower run-off ratio. We come up with a combined ratio of 94.3, and that is close to our expectations. There are always deviations up and down, but 94 is what we would expect for the overall year. Page 15, here we show the selected OEs, and I would like to start with Germany. The development in Germany was quite good, actually, with a combined ratio of 92 and 91.9%, a bit lower, a little higher than in the previous year, but the last year was extremely well, went extremely well due to lower Nat Cat and major loss costs. But with 92%, we're well on track. In France, we had a special burden from major claims, so the 98.4 are a little beyond our expectations. In Italy has shown a great result once again. The same holds true for CE region and Australia. In the UK, we had some special effects, and adjusted for this, the combined ratio would have ended at 96, so in line with our expectations. Then we have Spain. We already talked about that in the previous quarters. In Spain, the combined ratio was affected by a negative run-off result, and if we are adjusted for this run-off result, the combined ratio in Spain would be at 94%. So we expect that next year we'll come back and down to this level again. Then we come to AGCS, 102.7. Well, what stands out here is that we had a slight improvement compared to the previous year, when the natural catastrophes were significantly lower. And the topic is that in the previous year, we had a significant positive run-off result, and this year the run-off result was slightly negative. So that was the tendency we saw in the third quarter. But nevertheless, I believe that that we'll also continue to see this tendency in the fourth quarter. So for AGCS, 2019 has definitely been a difficult year so far. Quite to the contrary of Euler Hermes, with 82% combined ratio, another quarter with an excellent combined ratio. So for Euler Hermes, we will probably see a very good result for 2019 overall. So overall, there are some minuses, but most of the units delivered a good performance, and the combined ratio of around 94% is at a good level. Page 17, here you can see the investment result. And for the quarter, the investment result remains stable, more or less. What's more interesting is if you look at the right-hand side at the economic reinvestment yield, here you can see the clear decline compared to the third quarter of 2018 and also compared to the second quarter of 2019, by the way. And I mean, that this is no surprise as such. That's got to do with the development of interest rates, which means, what does it mean for us? Well, 15 basis points less in reinvestment yield over a year means around 100 million less in our operating investment results. So to balance this, we have to improve the combined ratio by 20 basis points. That's pure mathematics, and I think we can also do that, so we can counter this development, but that is the task that we'll be facing in the coming months. With this, I would like to switch to the life health segment on page 19. First of all, even though interest rates have continued to drop, we still received a good and sustainable new business margin of 3.1% for the third quarter. And I have to say something about the calculation here. The calculation for the new business margin and takes into account the conditions at the beginning of the quarter. So the conditions at the beginning of June, if you wish, and not those, or end of June, and not those at the end of September. That is to say, you will see a reduction of the new business margin in the fourth quarter. And with the exception of the U.S., we're calculating an average method for all other units. We have a quarter delay, but nevertheless, we expect that for the year, we will reach our target of 3% new business margin. So also in the face of declining interest rates, or in the face with negative interest rates, even we still reached a new business margin of 3%, and that's a good result. But coming back to the quarter, production grew by 20%, driven above all by Germany Life. As you can see, we also had a good growth rate in private health insurance, but this is more of a technical effect. So I wouldn't see this as the real growth rate that you can see here in Germany Health. But then we also had a good development in Italy and in the U.S. So all in all, a good new business margin with growing production. On page 21, you can see the operating profit in Life Health. And here we had an increase of 3%. What we saw here was a good development in loadings and fees, another increase compared to the previous quarter, and this is a tendency we've seen continuously over the past quarters. The investment margin declined, but is still relatively sustainable, so I would say for the quarter we did a good job here. Costs went up, but that's got to do with production. The production increases, and the technical margin also grew by close to 10%, so overall a good picture for the operating development in Life Health. On page 23, we show the development in the selected units and the selected OEs with growing production and a stable new business margin, if you wish. With all this, we've reached a growth rate of new business, the value of new business of 4%, and the good result of close to 500 million. And if you look at the new business margin in almost all of the units, with just some exceptions, the new business margin is above 2%, and that shows you that there is a certain degree of sustainability in all the OEs. Then when we look at the operating profit, Germany, the US, Italy, also France were quite stable overall. You can see a good growth rate in Asia Pacific as well. That's got to do in part with growth that we see in this region. Then there are some growth rates that stand out in Germany Health, for example, and the private health insurance, and in Spain. But this is more the normalization coming back from lower results in the previous year. So all in all, a good picture that we saw in the individual units in the third quarter. Page 25 shows the division of the capital of the investment result into the individual components, and you can see that the current yield has remained more or less stable, difference of 5 basis points, and guarantees went down. So that is important to show that we can reduce guarantees according to the development of the current yield. And then there is also the influence of realized gains and losses and profit sharing under IFRS that are added to all of this. But all in all, the investment margin remained more or less stable, and with 19 basis points, it remained stable compared to the first and second quarter as well. So with this KPI, also we saw good sustainability and have reached good sustainability over the course of the year. That brings me to our asset management segment on page 27. First of all, and that is really quite good, we had 1.7 trillion in third-party assets under management. That is a new record level, and I'm delighted, especially because if you have 1.7 trillion assets under management, that's always good for future performance as well. And all factors contributed to the development in the quarter. All in all, we had positive net inflows. The market development was positive as well. Decreasing interest rates, the values of the bonds and increases, of course, and then the exchange rates were also positive for us. So all factors contributed to the positive development, which led to this record level in the third quarter. And if we look at page 29, this means that our revenues also increased, adjusted for exchange rates, with an internal growth of close to 8%. Then the development differed between PIMCO and Allianz. PIMCO plus 5% growth rate, and whereas in Allianz GI we were more negative of minus 5%, but we see good sustainability of the margin in Allianz GI. We remain stable there, so that is a positive development. At PIMCO we saw a reduction of the margin, but that was more due to the changes in the business mix. And then we also took an acquisition where we have a lower margin, but the expense ratio as such is also lower, and therefore the margin decreased, but that didn't have any effect on the results of PIMCO. As you can see on page 39, the operating profit, the development for PIMCO was excellent, with a growth rate of 14%, adjusted for foreign exchange effects, it would have been close to 10%, so good dynamism. And also for AGI, even though the operating profit went down, we still are at a very high level with 180 million operating profit. So all in all, for the segment, with an operating profit of 700 million, that was reached, and that is certainly a very, very good result. Page 33 now, here you can see the development in our corporate segment. The loss in the segment was at 150 million, which is clearly better than in the previous year, driven by a better performance in Allianz Technology, our internal IT service provider. So also in the corporate segment, we saw a positive development. Now page 35, Here we show, as always, the non-operating factors, and there have been some movements back and forth, but look at realized gains and losses, or the movements in fair value assets, or in the tax rate and minorities. All of that is basically set off against each other, and so, you know, what you can say is that the shareholders' net income development was in line with the development of operating profit. Which brings me to my last page, page 37, the summary. Here you can see I would like to focus here on the 9 months, which tell you a little more than just one quarter. So overall, we saw strong results with over 9 billion of operating profit and net income of 6 cents, the increase of earnings per share of above 7%. And property and casualty overall, we are well on track. We certainly have some room to improvement with HECS, but also have to keep in mind that we have many other units with good performances in life health. We saw good sustainability of the operating result of the new business margin and the new business value. In asset management, we had a record level of assets on the management for third parties, which was also a great effort. And if we sum up all of that, we've confirmed our outlook and lifted it up to the upper half of the target range, our outlook for the overall year. So all in all, a good picture, and as always, I would like to thank our employees for their great efforts. And with this, I would now like to hand over to your questions.
So, Schiffer, I'd like to ask a question, please. *1 on your phone. Please make sure that your mute button is deactivated so that your signal can reach our devices. So if you find that your question has already been answered, you can withdraw it by pressing *2. Please press *1 in order to ask a question. Our first question, Michael Flimig from Börsen-Zeitung. Yes, good morning, Mr. Tesario. Mr. Flemish from Börsen-Zeitung have three questions. The first one looks at the outlook, and the other two on the interest situation. When it comes to the outlook, you presented the outlook for 2019 and shifted it slightly upwards, or to the other half. In the press announcement, you also talked about increasing external challenges. Which are these challenges and that you're going to see for next year, and how does it have an impact on Allianz next year? Then there's a question on the interest situation. You said that in P&C the combined ratio should go down by 0.2 percentage points in order to balance out for the lower capital investment result. What needs to be done? And the second question relates to the life insurance. How are you going to react? Will there be other products that are planned, and how will they look like? Thank you very much, Mr. Fleming, for your question. Well, the outlook and the statement in our press release that the challenges have increased considerably. There are major challenges, we said, that relates to the interest development, and that the interest is so low. Obviously, that will have consequences. And of course, we can also counter steer against these consequences. But of course, there's more headwind. That will not make any difference for our outlook and forecast for 2021. But it's just recognizing the environment. The environment has become a bit more difficult, as you already said, and as you repeated. And we do know now we have to become better and of a 20 percentage point basic combined ratio, so in order to counter steer against the interest development. So I don't think this is really giving us greater reason for concern, but sometimes you just have to work a bit harder when it comes to P&C and how to improve them, and how do we get the 20 basic points improvement in combined ratio, and working closely on the cost topic, and so we believe we can still improve in the years to come. And since we know that generally in the commercial insurance, we also can become better, and we can improve that as well. And also, I would say AGCS has more than 100% combined ratio, and I don't think we are going to have a company that is running above 100% combined ratio. So that's why I'm quite confident that in the years to come, the combined ratio of AGCS will be below 100, which will be a driver for the improvement of for the next years. And where AGCS this year, of course, and next year will also place a burden on our business. In life insurance, so what we're doing in order to react on the interest situation, we have different levers in different countries. In Germany, definitely, we're going to take measures, but in general, in Germany, we're seeing a very sustainable portfolio. That means the effect of the degree of effects on measures is taken is less what we have to do in France. In France, we definitely have to see which new products need to be launched onto the market. And in Italy, we are quite well positioned already. And we've made a lot in fixed annuity life insurances, and we changed a lot. And in the US, interests are still relatively high. So the situation is not as tense as it is in some other countries in Europe. And in Asia, we are facing completely different conditions. So if you look at the situation, yes, there are a few countries where we do see some special challenges, but I would not say, that the entire portfolio is endangered by this interest development. So the countries facing challenges are particularly France, definitely the French, yes. And I'm sure you read the local regulator is a bit in concern. So France, the situation is a bit more difficult than in other country. But if everyone is facing the same conditions, where the regulator says that we have to think differently, and mostly we will have always good solutions for that. So that's rather positive. It would be different if all of a sudden we would be the only one who would pursue a different philosophy, and for all other peers, the regulator would say it's fine with them. So that is not the case. So in general, this movement should help us. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Our next question from Alexander Hübner from Reuters. Good morning, Mr. Terzariol. I have two questions only. I'm not sure how I should assess the forecast, because in summer you said that you're going to land at the upper high end in the call back then. Now you're writing, you say upper half. That means you have a strengthened confidence, or are you taking back your forecast, or are you more careful towards what you said before? And if so, why is that the case? And the solvency ratio has decreased considerably. Could you give us an outlook of whether the trend is going to continue for the year end and also for next year, or whether it goes back down or back to the positive direction? Yes, thank you. First question. We never said that we're going to land at the upper end in the second quarter. We just said we are at midpoint. So actually, we have revised the forecast upwards relative to what we have said in the second quarter. So I don't know where you think where we have said that, but that anyway, that is not the case anyway. So we came from midpoint to the upper half, and the reason obviously is now we have more security and assurance, and 3 months later on the forecast for year end. But it will not be revised downwards, definitely not. But when it comes to solvency ratio, actually the interests have increased in the past few weeks. The Bund was at minus 25 basis points, and I felt comfortable with that. So If you think of -25, you think it's good, but I felt uncomfortable translating that into a solvency ratio. Nowadays, our solvency ratio would be 205 or even more. And you need to stay cool. Interests are going up and down, and including the Bund, that is moving 10 basic points plus and minus 10. And it was -34 yesterday, and now it's -25 yesterday. So we just have to wait what the interests will do. But as you can see, we are highly interested, and we are keeping a close watch on the interest development on a daily basis. But also, solvency ratio based on Solvency II shows a certain volatility, and this volatility has to be accepted. One should not be too much worried about this volatility. You just have to change your thinking as compared to what we thought in 2 or 3 years ago. And that's important, and that's why we have this big range. Minimum comfort level is 180, but we have moved clearly above 200 because we know that we're going to go through phases where the solvency and solvency ratio is coming down, and that just needs some different thinking. Okay? Are you happy with the answers? Oh, yeah, thank you very much. That's good. Olaf Storbeck from Financial Times. Good morning. I have one question on 2019 with guidance and profit guidance. And when you think of the first 9 months profit, and when you look at the other quarter, 3.3, and you're definitely above that first level. Unfortunately, the telephone connection to this journalist is not very stable. I'm trying my best with the translation. And also with Bloomberg, that also reported $1 billion, and that there's a 4% share in the Chinese, in a Chinese insurance, that they purchased that. There's also participation in a Chinese insurer. Can you say what the strategic rationale is about the purchase price and the timing? Yes, okay, let me try and answer, because it wasn't that easy to understand what you said because of the line. So 1.9 billion, and why we say upper half, that was the question, yes? We don't say upper end or whatever. Well, the topic is, so we have been a bit more conservative, but in that question, I would also say we do expect that at AGCS, we're going to have follow-up reservation need, and there's some unrest in the market, so we're doing fine with the liability insurance. We don't have a big book in the U.S. The liability book in the U.S. is relatively small, but we should also assume that we do get some burdens. And that's why our expectation was put at upper half, but not necessarily at the upper end of the planning, because that is the reason, because we have reported that. But also, even if you consider this potential headwind, we're quite confident that we're going to land at the upper half, and which is another sign for the strength of this for a stable business. So the right figure is a bit less. That is Taycan, and it's 800 million euros, and that's a financial investment basically. And so in the meanwhile, almost 800 billion capital investments. So if you take 0.8 billion in, and if we invested in the Chinese insurance company with 4% participation, actually that is a very small share, very small, participation, if you so want. Where each year we're investing 120 billion. So taking that investment under these framework conditions, It's also a big investment, but it's not too big. It's not really a Taycan. This company has a high quality, and so we believe that with this investment we can make a good yield plus. And in the future, this investment might lead to corporations, and that's why we would call it like a strategic corporation. Basically, it's a financial investment in a diversified portfolio, and which is an asset which has a higher quality than other insurers in China. Plus, potentially, once we get to know each other better, we might also start and establish some corporations in the future. Can you say something on the timing? When will this be closed? Will this become effective? Within the next few weeks. So by year end, that should be closing. Would you be willing to acquire further shares of that company if they sell that more than that? Not at the moment, but I can't say what is going to happen in 5 years. But there's no intention at the moment to buy more shares. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just to recollect, please press asterisk 1 in order to ask a question. Now we have a question, Frederike Krieger from Versicherungsmonitor. Good morning. One question, please, on HECS. You said that you're confident that HECS becomes materially below 100% combined ratio. How are you going to manage it, by price increases or cost reductions? And I also have one question on growth in German Lebensversicherung, German life insurance in the third quarter. Which are the products that mainly drove that growth? And on the P&C side, you talked about net cats and weather-related losses and major net cat losses. What was the burden and the major claims? And then I would like to know how you are doing in terms of setting up Allianz Direct. And HSS, I'm very confident that we're going to get the company below 100% combined ratio within the next few years, which is a combination of all the factors you mentioned. Price increases, then also refurbishment, and because, you know, that is reorganization, that is also, you know, related to each other. And we also need to work on the cost ratio. So, a company above 100% can be okay for 2 or 3 years, but on the long run, then the combined ratio has to become better. Plus, HECS figures so far have been better than the market, and also the market needs to see correcting itself, so we see a close and strong correction. And so we believe that this year, we still have the burden from HCS, but in the next years or next year we're going to see the improvement, and I do expect an improvement for 2020, but definitely by 2021. So within the next few years we're going to see an improvement. In life insurance, we have grown, and specifically in so-called capital-elastic products, and the growth rate was 40% within these products, but it's not as big, but nevertheless it's a good growth rate that we have achieved in protection. So we're growing in those products where we want to grow. And there was also one more question on the topics of weather-related claims and nature can losses. Well, exactly when the weather-related losses specifically the losses that are big enough, but not big enough in order to be called nat cats. So that is to be differentiated. I can tell you on the nat cats in Germany was the storm Bernd, but that wasn't part of the weather-related losses. So Bernd Storm was Nat Cat. And then we had a number of weather-related losses because they were not big enough to be assigned with a name, but still nevertheless they have a burden on our results. And these major losses are losses between 5 and 15 million. So it's all about this frequency of how they are occurring, and it's not that you had a big super Nat Cat or whatever. And that's what happened in the third quarter in Germany. So the results for one quarter should not be assessed too predominantly. Of course, you can have done volatility in Nat Cats. I mean, it's big major losses. It's more intensive when you look at 3 months instead of looking at 12 months. If you would make a weekly calculation, you would probably see a huge volatility. So that way, you would always have to assess and remember that the 3 months range is relatively short. Now, further to the development of Direktversicherung, we launched it in Germany and also in Holland. And so we're quite happy that we're going to, we're happy that we made the launch with Direct. And so the figures are definitely the figures from the old structure. And I can tell you the growth rate is more or less flat, and which we had expected anyway. The combined ratio is at 105, and that's what we also expected. And the cost ratio is good. It's only at the beginning, which is 120%. So if you believe it's just the beginning, then we have a cost ratio of 120%. Thinking of considering that we're just at the beginning. If everything runs fine, we're going to see a good development. But it's too early to make a bottom line conclusion. We just have started. Next year, that means 1 year from now, we can definitely talk better about the development of our direct insurance. Okay, thank you very much. Just to recollect, please press asterisk one in order to ask a question. Next question comes from Marcus Clausen, Dow Jones.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. I'd like to come back to the losses from Nat Cats and ask whether you can say anything on the Hurricane Dorian and then also on the Typhoon Jebi. And is there any burden on the Thomas Cook insolvency? And also, what about Boeing? Will there be further losses coming in? Any claims? Dorian was practically not relevant. Taxi gave a burden of 50 million in the quarter, which is part of our Nat Cats in the quarter. Then Thomas Cook is per se irrelevant for us. Not only, but I would say it can be neglected. And further on Boeing, our provisions in the quarter have been increased by 20 million. So that means we are slightly below 100 million. Not really at 100, but we increased our reserves at Boeing. Thank you very much. 15 million was Taxi. Taxi was 50, 50. Exactly. Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, now we take the questions from the English conference.
Thank you. We will take our first question from Catherine Shi of the Insurance Insider. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Two questions, if I may, on AGCS. Can you tell us how many percentage points on the AGCS combined ratio was adverse reserve development, and how much do you anticipate for Q4, and could this go into 2020? And then the second question is on the restructuring of AGCS. Are there any particular lines of business which you feel are underperforming and may be exited? Thank you.
So on AGCS, thank you for your question. On AGCS, the impact from the negative runoff in Q3 was about 2.5%. So if you adjust the combined ratio for the third quarter for the runoff, the combined ratio would have been close to 100%. in the sense of what we should expect for the fourth quarter, I expect that we're going to have a negative runoff, which is more than 2.5%. So we're going to have some additional reserving. I cannot give you a number, but I believe the combined ratio for AGCS for the fourth quarter is going to be higher than 110% for AGCS. I would say this is something that we should expect. I don't expect that we're going to have additional runoff as we go into 2020 or 2021, but this statement is always relative to what new information might bring in the future. So it's very difficult to make prediction about what could happen in 2020 or what could happen in 2021. For the time being, I can just tell you that for the fourth quarter of 2019, I would expect that we're going to see some negative runoff coming through the AGCS numbers. From a restructuring point of view, I would say, you know, that there are clearly lines of business where there is more need for price changes. And, for example, marine business is very, very challenging. Liability U.S., we feel pretty okay with our liability U.S. book because we have a little bit of a different profile. But still, when you read all the news coming through, you want to take even a closer look. So from that point of view, I would say a lot of businesses are under review. We, in the sense of exiting, I would say, you know, we have been exiting, by the way, a few lines of business like Australia D&O, but fundamentally we think that in most cases it's more about re-underwriting, getting price increases, and exiting is most likely not going to be needed. This said, if we run the numbers and we see that we need to exit some lines of business, we are absolutely open to do that. But I don't think it's going to be necessary to go to these extreme measures. And if this is the case, there will be in very exceptional cases. But there is no emotions here. So we run the numbers, and if we had to do that, we are going to do it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We will take our last question from Ben Dyson of S&P Global Market Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Morning. Thanks for taking my question. I just have a quick one on the lower than average contribution from runoff on the property casualty side. I was just interested if you could say a little bit more about why that was and whether you see that as continuing going forward, or whether you expect it to return back to the sort of usual average level you would expect.
Yeah, I would say that the difference, let's say, between the 2.5 and the 3 that we might usually expect is driven partially by AGCS. We just discussed that. And then also, usually we would expect to not to have a negative runoff in Spain. And this is going to clearly go away next year. So these are the two drivers why the runoff in the third quarter is lower compared to what we would have as an expectation. So in 2020, yes, I would expect that we are going to go back probably to a level of runoff of 3%. One thing anyway for you, because we're always looking at the quarter, if you look at the 9 months, the runoff is 2.8. So always, especially in the first quarter, I think the only thing you can look at is the first quarter. When we go throughout the year, and especially when we get into the 9 months, I think the best way to look at the numbers is also to take a look at the 9 months numbers. They might give you a better idea of the performance as opposed to just a quarter. But yeah, to repeat the point, AGCS clearly being negative, and Spain being negative for this year, they are the two things that they will not be in our normal expectation. We don't expect companies to have a negative runoff, let's put it this way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
We will now return to the German conference for any additional or closing remarks.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's conference. We would like to thank you for your participation and wish you all a great remainder of the day. Thank you also from our side, and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you also from Giulia Tessa. Adios.